It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha podcast. Today is a special day because I get to interview somebody I really respect and look up to, someone who is a hip-hop journalist. She is, to me, she's the Latina voice of hip-hop in LA. And her name is Leti Peniche, and I'm excited for her to come in now. And what we're going to talk about today is believing in yourself. And that was something that I really wanted to talk to Leti about specifically because, you know, Leti has accomplished a lot in her career in the hip-hop and radio world. And I wanted to talk to her about that because I've lately got to hear her perspective more on things on Clubhouse. Yeah, I'm interested to talk more to her about this. And I don't want to like spoil it by telling you why. But I know she just has a lot of insight on this topic. So I'll wait for her to come in. There she is.
Hi.
Hey, friend.
Little screen. Hola.
I was telling them right now that I was getting hyped for this by listening to my West Coast playlist. Since you always rep the West.
What were you listening to?
Oh, right now, the song that came out was Kid Frost, La Raza.
Oh, I love it.
How are you?
Good. I'm sorry if I sound horrible.
You're fine.
I'm okay. I am freaking medded up right now, so I'm
yeah?
Good. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I hope that you're feeling, like, are you feeling better than you were, or?
Yeah, it was really bad at the beginning of the week. I got, like my bones hurt, and it's weird because like, you know, like for Tylenol you can take headache, or like if you have a stomach ache you can take Pepto-Bismol, but like if your bones hurt, what do you take?
Yeah,
like that shit was crazy. So even if I took Tylenol, like pain relievers, it wouldn't go away. And then I had epidural when I gave birth, so they always tell you like when you get epidural, there's chances that, like, if it's too cold or too windy, you're going to feel it in your spinal cord. And so that's kind of where you feel it the most, and it's something you really can't get rid of. So,
damn.
Yeah, that shit was real. That shit was the worst, I think. And then, like, I had a headache, sore throat, stuff
like
that.
How long did it last for you?
It started Monday. Monday's when I felt like a sore throat. And then at the night is when the body stuff happened. And then I had like these really crazy fevers, low key. I felt like my the war was like in my head, like the fever. Like I legit felt like cannons blasting and shit, but like a fever. Like I don't know.
Whoa.
If that makes sense.
Wait, the way you explain things is so funny.
Yeah, I know, but like I would be asleep. And I would be, like, woken up in the middle of the night because, like, I literally felt like my brain was going, but just, like, just heat. It was shit's crazy.
Just shooting around your head, huh?
Yeah. But then everyone else, everyone in my house has it, but most of them are, like, asymptomatic. Like, Jorge is asymptomatic. My dad is, thank God. My two-year-old is the one that has it a little bit more like me, like actual symptoms.
Yeah.
But everyone else is good.
Oh. Yeah, and then yeah. I saw you were talking to your followers about your dad's vaccination earlier.
Yeah, dude, that shit pisses me off.
Like, they get so controversial off of somebody else's life, and it's like, what are you doing? Like, do you have time for this?
My thing is like, my dad's 70. He should, like, if we're 30-something... go ahead, believe your conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Go do whatever the fuck you want. But if a 70-year-old wants to take the shot, let them to fucking take the shot. Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't know how much more relieved we feel knowing, like, okay, at least we're sparing my dad getting, like, hospitalized. And then there's, like, of course he might have been just as good had he not gotten the vaccine, or also he could have fucking died. Like that's the shit. It's like, are you really willing to risk it?
Yeah, and, no. Fuck yeah. No.
It's just, like, and then it's, like, the conspiracy theory that, like, oh, they're going to do shit to, like, they're doing shit in your body with the vaccine. It's like, dog, one thing I learned about, okay, if they're going to poison us, they're going to poison us in the shit we don't suspect.
Yeah.
If we're suspicious of something, guess what they're going to stay away from? Doing it in the shit we're suspicious of. They're doing fine fucking poisoning us every day with shit we don't blink or question.
Well, and they're like, oh, they consume. Put chips in us or some shit that's what they're doing. But it's like, also, you carry around an iPhone all day, so.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, so I was like researching the one that my dad got, and she got the Moderna one, and a Black woman actually made it, and she really took, like, her stuff was like, I want to make it so minorities know that it's from us, for us, and they don't feel as like, what are they doing to us type shit. Mm-hmm. And then guess who is like vaccine up the asshole? White people in fucking Beverly Hills.
No, like, and they were going to like places in Compton, yeah, and shit, like to wait in line, like
are vaccinating themselves up the butt, not up the butt, in their arms.
Well, but we don't know.
But it's like, we're stupid, like we're over here fucking conspiracy theorizing, and then that leaves so much more room for us to just be open and open to the fucking virus without any protection. Because we're super into stupid-ass conspiracy theories.
Yeah. And it just, like, it just grows. It's like, it just grows, and then it turns, I don't know, I feel like we can't, no one can ever agree. For every single time there's one piece of information, there's going to be people that absolutely disagree with it for whatever reason. Yeah. Wait, am I feel like I hear feedback. Do you hear feedback?
No, you sound great.
Dude, I feel like I hear feedback, and I'm like, I don't want this interview to get messed up.
Oh, people hear it. I don't hear it.
Shit. Yeah, they hear it too. All right, yeah. We're gonna start over.
Okay,
bye. Are you there? Okay, you're good. Okay, how do you feel about D-Smoke?
I think that I have
this feels like a controversial question.
It's a weird question because I have like my own little, like, I just like peeping game about the show.
Oh, the, like, ra- the
which show that he was,
yeah,
on.
The whatever. Yeah.
And so, but the music is good, but like the positioning is what I have questions about. So the music is good, but it's just like the story. You know, how every artist, I think what makes sense of artists apart is like, what's their story? I think his story, I feel a little like complicated, or like a little, I don't know, are you guys giving us this like person that kind of was like a making the band type of person, and then he's just amazing?
Oh, so you create amazing, like, you feel like they created, yeah, like, the narrative for him,
yeah. And then that's really easy to get into like the industry plant combo in hip-hop, and it's like, but he's also super talented, so
yeah, that's real. I just like, I vibe to his music, but and it just came on my little West Coast playlist, so I was, you know, bro,
yeah,
the feedback is back.
Have you heard Blast? I didn't hear you.
The feedback is back.
It is?
Can y'all hear it?
No.
All right, we're just going to have to go and do our thing. Okay.
Mars. Has this happened before when you
No.
do it? Jesus Christ is my savior. It's because it's us.
I know. I feel like, well, I'm the, like, basically the poster child for, you know, whatever can go wrong, will.
Will go wrong? Yeah. What is that? Huey's Law or some shit?
No.
It's a law.
Yeah, it's one of the laws, but whose law is it? Is it Newton's Law? No.
No, it's not Newton.
No.
I think you need to move your phone.
Robert Greene?
Maybe just move your phone.
This phone? Is it my phone stand? Oh, maybe if you host. Jesus.
Oh, like, if I start it and then you come on.
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to make a difference. Wait, what could it be?
All right, guys, I'm just going to try it.
Okay. If it doesn't work, we'll go on Zoom, and then I'll go live on my phone by myself with you on Zoom. The lengths I will go to make this happen are very far. Okay, is it working?
Okay, I hear you. Do you hear me? Do you guys hear feedback?
Hello. Hi. Here I am. Can you talk
to
me?
I still hear you great.
I don't hear you. Wait, I think it's working.
Okay. We did it.
You guys, it's working. Can any... Okay.
Yay, it sounds perfect.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha Podcast. I am here for the 37th attempt at the try of this with someone I really respect, the Latina voice of LA hip hop. She was on Big Boy's Neighborhood. I mean, that was a big deal for me because I used to wake up every morning before school, and that's what I would get ready to. So that's why I think your voice is like so comforting, because it's like familiar and it just reminds me of simpler times, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I love that. Thank you.
And what else? You were on 92.3. You were on Genius. How long have you been doing that rhyme capture calendar? For a while now, right?
Since 2000. Like, the first year was 2015, so I did it in 2014 for the next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, since 2014.
Yeah, so your hustles have been strong, like, forever. Yeah. But, I mean, you also have a podcast. I mean, you can also hold your own at any table discussing hip-hop, no matter who's at it. And that's something I've always been able to really, really respect, but I have gotten to hear more of it now that we have connected on Clubhouse. And just getting to hear you guys, because I have opinions in those rooms, but I'm not going to get up there and say them. You know what I mean? I'll be like, you know, but you're in the world enough to where it's like, no, people look at you as an expert on this shit. And that means a lot to see somebody like myself represented in that form, you know, when it comes to hip hop specifically, because we love it just as much, you know? And so it's always been really cool to see you hold your own in those spaces. And also just be really respected by the artists and the people around you. And all of that, and you're a mom, and you're a wife, and you're a daughter, and all of that comes in a little fun size package because you're this big.
Yeah, I'm 4'11". Oh, remember I saw you in person a month ago or so, right?
Yeah, to pick up the bananas.
Like, dude, you're so short.
She's so little. She's micro mini size. Mm-hmm. But dude, all of that. And I mean, so I want to talk about your career, like, because the whole point of this podcast was I wanted to talk to you specifically about believing in yourself. And like, when I had wanted to ask you if I could have you on the podcast for a really long time, but it just, like, I don't know, I would always get shy, or it would just never be the right moment. And so finally, I think I was like, it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I text you like, you know what, I'm just gonna shoot my shot.
Dude, I wish I knew, like, the nervousness, because there's definitely no need for that. Because me and you are, like, super cool, and it's, like anything you need, you know? Similar to, like, me, like, whenever I need something, I know you're there.
Yeah. I think it's you just don't ever want to seem like you're using someone, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're using them for your advantage, because that's not really at all what I want to talk to you about. Because I know there's so much more to what you have to offer in a conversation, in a room, in the world, than your access into this world of hip hop and celebrities and all that. Like, that's what made me want to talk to you more deeply about not hip hop, but about everything that surrounds it, you know, everything you are internally and how you got to where you are, because I want this podcast to serve as an inspiration to anybody who watches it. So I want a young Latina to be tuned in right now and listening to this conversation and wondering these questions, like, how did she get to where she is? What does it take? Like, what kind of personality does it take? What kind of, like, dedication? What do I need to know to get to aspire to those heights in radio, you know, because you've been around for a really long time and you've been able to create a space for yourself. And so on your Instagram bio, it says, "Thanks be to God, I use my voice." And so can you explain a little bit about that? Like, why is it? That's, first of all, you are also, you be having bars sometimes too on your captions. I'm like, she don't think she's a rapper, but she got bars. So tell me about that caption. Like, why is that your bio?
You know, like, There's this thing that I went through in my life where, like, I've reached success, but there was a moment in time where, like, I reached success and I wasn't necessarily, like, a believer, like, in God, right? So, like, and then I kind of saw the correlation with, like, reaching success, reaching, like, the pinnacle of what I wanted to be since I was a little girl. Since I was a little girl, I wanted to be in radio in Los Angeles, and I wanted to work with Big Boy. Who's to say, like, to me, it's like that dream. When I look back at it, it's so crazy, because, like, who's to say that that little girl would grow up, and by the time she's grown up, could still even work with Big Boy, like, that he'd still be in radio for her to work with him, right? Yeah. I think sometimes we feel a little bit entitled being in LA, that we can go, as it pertains to radio, that we would be able to just, like, get hired on Power 106, right? When there's people in all other of the 49 states, because there's 50 states, right? Or there's 51. Fuck my life.
Wait, it's 50.
It's the COVID. I don't know. Is Hawaii 51?
No, Hawaii is one of the 50 states. I think. All right. Shit. All right, remember, someone tell us in the comments.
Shit. You said that shit.
I can't confirm or deny that.
There's like people all around, like in every other place that also want that same
that
dream,
spot.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was like, I feel like if I grew up in like another town, I would want to be in that town's radio station. So it was just like whatever, like my home was, right? I wanted to be in radio there. I got it. But when I got it, J. Cole has this line. It's super, super short. He says, "What's the cost to live your dream?"
Mm.
And then he goes, "Do you feel me?" And I'm like, "Yes, I feel you." Because I was there and I felt so out of purpose. I felt like I wasn't doing stuff like out of my own will. I felt like everything, like my integrity was getting shot. I felt like everything that I thought it was going to be, it wasn't. And then so after Power, I really took the time to like connect with like myself spiritually. My friend Jen took me to this this sermon, and it wasn't like a regular church. It was like in some old theater. And the preacher was talking, but when the preacher was talking, he was talking like I got it, like I understood it. And ever since then, like, I was like, okay, I'm gonna try again, but this time I'm gonna try with God. And there's even like a quote, like, try again now with God, right? And so the next time that I tried, I felt more in purpose, and I felt more strong. I felt like shit that I would probably say yes to when I didn't mean yes, or like that I would probably feel like crap about before, I was much stronger against now that I had like my teammate, which is God, right? And so being that when things didn't feel right in the next like situation, or things felt like sometimes I correlate it to like God pushing me, and I'm me listening to his tugs or his pushes.
Mm-hmm.
When he told me like go or like do this, and I was able to listen, I didn't feel like I missed out, or I didn't feel like sad. I felt like relieved, and I felt like there's a peace to walking with God, that even if you're saying no to something you may love, or you may feel like, oh my God, this was my dream, there's a peace to it that you know it's going to turn out better. It's going to be for a better reason, right? Or so that's kind of like why I put everything to God, like everything. And I don't mean it in a way of like, because there's people that are too preachy, and there's people that are too like, I don't know, like it's too much for people. It might feel
like they force it upon other people.
Yeah. Cause it's not that, but also like God is cool. God's not a chump. God, like all this stuff that we have, like of who God is or whatever, like this, for every funny joke you have, this fool created it first. Like this dude knows his shit. Like I get a lot of people saying like, yeah, you love God and you cuss. And it's like, yeah, dog, who do you think made up these words? Like it's like, God's not my grandma. He's fucking dope as fuck. Like he's dope. Like he's cool. And he gets me.
Wait, but it the shit be, people choose to focus on, like, why?
It's so weird. Even when people are like, ooh, God wouldn't like you fucking dressing like this. It's like, God wanted us naked. God wanted us
all. No, you should have just been like, God wanted you to mind your own goddamn business, bitch.
But he's like pissed we fucking ate some shit, and then we're able to see that, oh my God.
Oh, the apple.
Nudity. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But like, all that stuff trips me out. But anyway, I digress on that part. I think that just knowing that he's a part of everything makes things go by a little bit less like scary.
Yeah.
And then for using my voice, I honestly feel like that's my gift. It's weird. I wish singing was my gift. I wish painting was my gift, but like my voice is my gift, right? And I think at the end of the day, we talk to each other, and communication is probably the best thing that God could have given me. And knowing like, okay, he gave you a voice. People are listening to you. People care what you say. Now use it for like the greater good. Yeah. And the greater good doesn't even mean like all you're going to do is philanthropy. No, but like, know that all your steps are towards something. And I don't know, there's such a peace with that type of a purpose on you.
Yeah.
Jorge, please get out of the chat.
Oh God. Jesus is mi compa.
He loves to be on.
He's trolling you?
To, like, troll me.
He's probably trying to make you laugh. Speaking of using your voice, though, like, when I was on my little stalking spree, you know, not trying to be weird or anything, but
you're good.
When I was on my stalking spree, I came across this post of you when you were 9 years old, and that's not no average 9-year-old activity, you know, to like write to Congress because your friend had gone and deported, you know, like, so it's been from day one that you've known this, or is that what you would say?
Yeah, no, I think that there's a...
Tell that story, and then, yeah.
Sure. So, when I was when I was in elementary school, so previous to 9 and all of that, I lived in this apartment structure, and I had, a best friend that lived in one of the apartments, too, and I just knew that, like, she wasn't safe. She always felt like life is not for sure for me, and there was such a... I was too young to even get into, like, all the politics about what immigration was or what an undocumented person is or, like, what the struggle is for them. I was a kid. But I did see that it filtered through to, like, how she felt about herself, how sure she even felt that she could go on a field trip next month because she didn't know what was going on. And I'm pretty sure she was taking on what her parents were probably discussing within themselves, because kids take on everything from children. Kids take on everything from their family. So I just remember that. And there was a member of Congress that had came to the school, and then they told us we could write to him. And all I knew was that immigration was tied to the White House. Like, that's kind of my connection. They can fix it. And so I wrote him, like, pleading for my friend. Like, she is so smart. She's great at handball. I have an imaginary friend. She doesn't have one, but she'll play with us, even though she doesn't know who imaginary friends, I have one. She's like, she's really sweet. Every time her mom gives her like a pastry,
like trying to make her case,
Yeah. And it was like little, like trivial things, like, and I hope that she can get, she can become a citizen. And that person wrote me back like, wow, thank you. Like, it's a little bit harder. Like, letting me down easy. And then I also thought it was funny that I was so bold to ask that person, like, hey, can I get plane tickets to the White House? Can I go talk over there?
Hey, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, legit. I wish that I had the letter. Like, I can remember bits and pieces of me writing it, but I wish that I had it to, like, really see, like, wow, Leti, que atrevida eres, like, for real.
You knew it. I don't know. I just felt like you probably, like, there are probably lots of examples of those types of things, like, leading up to where you are now. Because it seems like, I think I don't want to say attracted, because that sounds weird, but what attracts me to you, like, what I feel connected to most is your authenticity. Just, like, you just are who you are. It seems like at home, at work, at the radio, like, it just seems like you're always the same person. And that's something that I connect with. And I can recognize when I see in people. And so, talk to me about, speaking of being 9 years old, talk to me about your inner child, because there was this podcast episode, that you were talking about yours. And I was around that same time, I had been doing those same little, like, inner child dates. Okay. And so, I want you to talk a little bit about that. And how old is yours? Like, mine, when I, like, kick it with my inner child, she's 8.
Yeah. Okay. So mine, I feel like she's like, she could be like 6 or 7. She's like definitely like kindergarten age, like younger elementary. So y'all fucking bear with me. If you listen to my podcast, you know that what I'm about to talk about. If you don't, you're probably going to trip out. But here's like the
just get a therapist, guys, like, you'll be okay.
The in summary, anytime we talk about like therapy or whatever, they always talk about like working on your inner child, right? And so I'm thinking like, okay, if all of our kind of human and adult or interpersonal or extrapersonal or whatever like issues lie with stuff that happened to us when we were children, how can I work on that child? And then I also, there's little bits and pieces of the Bible that I take, but I don't know, like, I can't freaking put, like, this happened in, like, James, whatever. Like, I don't know that shit. But basically, there's no time. Past, present, and future all kind of are in one. Like, and it's weird to say that. But then when you do these types of exercises, you can kind of see why. So the reason why they say work on your inner child is if you work on your inner child, it affects the present you, which clearly affects the future you. So then you can ultimately live in that theory that you can work on all three at the same time.
Yeah.
So my thing was, it's like, okay, what would be cool to do, or what were things that I missed out on? And it's not even necessarily like go deep in your traumas of as a child, because I know that can even take more of an experienced guide. But it's like, what are little things that I could do that would make little me happy, that in turn gives me like a fulfillment and like a little bit of joy, mm-hmm. that will like lead me to like future me also feeling good about myself too. So I started doing dates with my inner child. I'm gonna tell you this right now, I have an insane imagination. That is why I had an imaginary friend. Like, I can fucking do this shit. I can talk to shit that's not there. I know I'm not crazy. I know that there, it's not there. The thing is, like, I am very aware that there is nothing there and I'm talking to the sky or whatever, but I'm also imagining something. And that's just how fucking powerful my brain is. Yeah. And your brain is.
Look, I don't think it's weird. I'm like, girl, talk about it. Tell them about it.
So like one thing I did was I went to go see The Lion King by myself. The new Lion King, the
one with Beyonce.
Yeah. No. The live action one, but it wasn't with Beyonce. No. It was one in theater. Beyonce was on Disney Plus.
No.
There's like
no, Beyonce was the voice of the live action one for Nala, right?
Oh yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's what I meant. You meant like her album, because that was dope too though.
Yeah. She did a movie on Disney Plus too. Oh. But you're right. The live action movie theater. I went by myself, but then I'm like, damn it. I know how much I loved Lion King when I was little. But I also know I never got to go to the movie theaters. And it's because we couldn't really afford it. And if we did go to the movie theaters, I remember that like I wished that I could get a Slurpee, but I could never get a Slurpee. Me and my sister had to share everything. And if anything, we were taking food in from our house to like the theater. We weren't fucking buying shit there.
Why are you bringing up all shit?
For real. So like I went to the movie theater and I was like, I'm gonna pretend that I have Letty with me, like a little Letty. Like, hey, guess what? Like, you're gonna get a slushie. Like, and also have that little imagination project what you as a little kid would have projected. So it would have been joy. It would have been like, oh my God, I never get to have this. And then there's like this energy, this transference of energy that you feel like you're vibing higher after mm-hmm. that. And so,
because you've invested in yourself, like intentionally, you've decided that there is you have identified some type of like, I don't want to say lack or whatever, but you have identified a place where you can fulfill a need that didn't get filled before and give that to yourself.
Not my parents' fault. It's just like we didn't have, right? So often when we're little and we didn't have, we became bitter, we became sad. And that might like lead on to like the future us that either holds back on buying ourselves nice things or either is bitter towards other people that have nice things. So then it's like, how do I break that? And I started doing that. And just like when you think of sad things, you will get sad. When you think of this and when you imagine this, you get happy. Like, it's not really rocket science. It's not like something like crazy to say. Like literally, if I know that if I start thinking of sad shit, I'm, even if it didn't happen to me, I'm going to get sad. It's going to ruin my day. So how about me thinking of cool shit, fun shit, and letting it like vibrate my, like high, elevate my vibration. So that's kind of what I do. And I'm glad that you did that too.
Like, yeah. Well, I was like around this. I think we were maybe, let me get my shit together. when I saw another post where you had talked about finding a therapist. And so it was a therapist who helped spark that for you, because it was for me too. So, I mean, it was, I had a therapist, but I was also working with like a healer. And so I was simultaneously working with them at the same time. So it was like, they were both kind of giving me homework, and I was able to like, you know, so I think when I heard your podcast, that's why I resonated with it so much, because I was in that same period of like making an effort to try and do those things. And that's why I like identified with it.
But that's awesome.
The picture of you. Okay, so I think, did Jorge take that picture of you, of the one that I posted? The one of you, like, in that orb?
Yeah. Okay. I make him take all my photos.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's pretty handy, having, like, a really talented photographer.
He hates it.
Is he still, like, even though he's a photographer, when it comes to you, is he still, like, a man that's, like, ugh.
No, he's, like, the pictures. Well, yeah. But I'm, like, okay.
You're like, people pay you for this.
Let's get into relationship issues real quick. No, Jorge is amazing. He's so great. He does everything right. No.
Okay, now the truth.
To me, it's like, I have a lot. He just likes to be ready. Like, let me just go in there and shoot. Like, you take care of everything else. I go in there and shoot. Because Jorge, too, he's not like the type of photographer that he is more like, I would probably say lifestyle. Like, it's not stuff that's like studio driven.
It's like more candid, like, it looks like
that. Yeah. And he's used to like more dudes that really probably don't care if their fucking boob looks a certain way, or if
they're not like, hey, let me see.
Way. Yeah. Like, to me, it's just like, you're trying to pull off a look. And so it's just not his forte. And so I take care of everything. So it's just like, hey, I'm going to do this. Take this shot. But he's great at like finding the shot. So yeah, he did take that one.
That picture though, that brings me to the question, because in that picture, I think you have a crystal in one hand and you have like a rosary in the other hand. And so I want to know, like, you know, talk to me about crystals and, you know, religion, because how do you merge the religious aspects of spirituality with the, you know, the natural indigenous ones, you know, like, how do you feel about that? Or how does that happen for you?
Well, a couple of things. I definitely do feel that God gave us tools, and I think it's probably doing disservice to what he gave us to not use it. Often people try to say, like, if you like crystals or if you like natural healing or things like that, that you are replacing God, or like you're like praying to false idols. But like, I'm never like, crystals saved my life, or like, I'm never like, hey, herb,
because it's not or, it's and.
Yeah, it's definitely and then also, like, if you were to look at these religious figures, or like sage is used in church, like if you look at the freaking Pope's rosary, guess what it's gonna be made out of? Not plastic, crystals. Like and then even then, like the world we live in now is using crystals, like crystal energy, like even something as slight as like DJs, right? When they put the needle on like a,
it's a diamond, a
vinyl record, it's a diamond.
Yeah. Like that's,
those are all crystals and gems and from and rocks. And so my thing is, it's like, those are tools meant for us. Why would we not use them? And I think that there's also like this stigma around it being like brujería, or like, it's like witchcraft. But then I think we also have to understand the origins of all of that. Like, witchcraft was probably a term made to make you look at a certain individual that uses the earth and natural healing as a negative, because it doesn't fit the narrative of the church or whatever was trying to like normalize, right? But then it's all up to you, what, like, whose truth or whose history do you choose to believe? What I've learned, and I learned this looking for, so one day I was looking for, like a pendant, but I didn't want to use the cross. I didn't want to use the cross because I don't like that we're using the thing that Jesus died on as a symbol of like Christianity. Well,
oh, wait, what? What do you mean by that?
Like, you know, when you're like, when people wear necklaces, they wear the, like, a cross.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm like, we're freaking wearing what Jesus got murdered on.
Oh, I see. So, it's like, I didn't. Okay.
So then I was like looking for like, what can I use that is not that? Like, I don't want to use
so
that.
So it has
like
a negative connotation for you. So yeah.
To me at least. Yeah. Like, I'm like, there should be something better. Like maybe the, I know some people use the fish. I was thinking like maybe prayer hands. But while I was thinking of that, I started researching the cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is my thing. It's like, so I found like the origin of like the cross symbol, because what it is, it's a symbol. What Jesus was actually, like historians say, like what he died on was a stake. Like, and so stakes are like this, like straight up and down.
Uh-huh.
His hands were like this, not like this, right? Historically, this is what like the Bible historians have agreed, that he died on a stake, not a cross. But the reason why it is a cross is because when they were converting pagans to Christianity, what they started doing was showing them similar symbols to make it easier for them to transition. So the cross is a pagan symbol. So like a witch symbol or like a, mm-hmm. a natural healer symbol that people of the church were like, look, it's in our stories. You should look at the rest of our stories, like things like that, right? So it makes it easier to transition. So then it's like, we're over here talking shit about crystals when look, the freaking Bible is on purpose using symbols that don't even belong to them, because they know it's going to be, at least at that point, it was easier for the outside group, the pagan group, the whatever group to be okay with this religion thing that mm-hmm. was going on. So things like that, it's like, when I know enough to know that maybe I don't know everything, I know not to be judgmental. Like when I know enough to be like, dog, like, if we're so set in stone on stuff that maybe we're not even practicing, it's so weird.
Oh, well, and that's no longer relevant. I mean, it's not like they can update the Bible
at all. It's like it's already happened. We already all believe in it. Like, but as it pertains to like the cross, that's why sometimes you see like even still Jesus will be like this on the cross because it's only the mm-hmm. one. So then that the other one doesn't even matter. It's because it's helpful, or it was helpful to pagans, right? So then my thing is, like, as it pertains to, like, crystals and whatever anyone has to, like say about it.
Yeah.
I know that, like, my faith is strong. Like, I pray every day. I pray while I drink water. Like, I'm, like, super, like, me and my dude are good, right? So it's, like, I also know, like, when I'm using, or, like, when I, like, have crystals around like my desk, like there's one that like is really supportive of like productivity. Like I'm not being like, oh, hail crystal. Like I think that's a weird
thing. No, it's also science that it has like healing properties.
Yeah,
like it's properties also, that's also it. Not debatable. So I mean, unless you just like don't believe in science, but okay, then that's another conversation. But like these are actual pieces that God or whoever you believe created the universe, whoever created it, they're here. So why not use them as tools, like you're saying?
What trips me out is it like it really powers the world. Like batteries are made out of lithium. Lithium is a crystal. Like they're like all of these little things that like that we already use. Like the people that are even judging it are also users of it. It's just unbeknownst to you.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, that's just how I feel about that. It's not bad though.
Yeah, no, I think that there's always, because you have like a big platform too. Well, I'm sure they talk shit in general, but because you have a big platform, that opens you up, you know, to like people to talk so much more shit. And it just, how do you even deal with that? Like, do you just ignore it completely?
Well, I think that to a point, like it does get a little upsetting, But then also, like, then you just gotta take inventory. Like, am I really this freaking witch with, like, a fucking, like, at a cauldron? Like, oh, my God, the world, I'm getting freaking screwed over. Like, no, or am I, like, really, like, cool and walk with God? Like, I totally understand that. And, that kind of goes back to the beginning where, like, everything is a little bit more peaceful, even, like, the bad shit. Because you know, like, God gets you. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, like, a part in the Bible. I don't know the part. Again, I don't know the number and section. Where it's, like, man sees you from the outside, but God knows your heart. Like, God knows what you're saying from your heart. And it's, like, that I couldn't lie to him if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So being okay that he knows that part of me is cool with me.
Yeah, so, like, basically, whether or not other people know or not, it doesn't matter because God knows. Yeah. And so that's really the only judgment that matters at the end of the day.
Like Van Lathan, we're talking about.
Oh, shit. Van Lathan, what's cracking?
He's a rapper.
You're not a rapper, but what's up? Okay, look. So the other question that I have about that is, how important is spirituality to your career goals? Like, how do you, because I know you've talked about manifesting. And I mean, I know coffee is a crystal. I'm just kidding. What are you drinking?
I wish it was coffee. It's Gatorade.
What flavor?
I haven't had the orange one. I think the orange is the best Gatorade flavor. I haven't had coffee since I've been sick. So
I'm not a coffee person. It's just not my thing.
Jesus, I wish I was you.
Yeah, but you know, I have a natural hyperactivity problem. So so we need to go the opposite direction. You know what I mean? Did you hear my, okay, what was my question?
Oh yeah, spirituality and career, right?
Yeah.
Just really listening. Like, sometimes I think that it's, you get mistaken in thinking, like, if you're following God, then it has to be, like, you work in the church, or, like, you work, like, your career has to be, like, that driven. It's, like, no, he understands, like, the way that he's going to progress or, like, get the message across is in the industries that aren't of him. Like, it's kind of like you're already talking to a believer if you're in church. So it's like, what are these industries that may need it, that may need that, like, guidance, right? Or that may need that, like, message. And I think that a lot of those industries have to do with the entertainment, right? And so it's kind of like, that's where I've chosen, or where I feel he's chosen for me to, mm-hmm. like, lay hold.
Well, to use build. Your voice.
Yeah. And then every time I speak to people, we end up talking about spirituality. We end up talking to stuff like that. I enjoy that, like, my interviews are definitely about rap and lyrics. And,
but they're
and
not that's the one typical of the things
that stand
interviews.
Me out. That stand out. Yeah. But we also talk about God. And we also, like, I talked to this dude. I'm a big fan of him. His name is Biggs Burke. And he started Roc Nation with Jay-Z. He went to jail, and in jail he found God. And now he's, like, pushing on such a movement with who he is. And being able to talk to this guy that started arguably one of, if not the most powerful record labels in hip hop, about God. Like, to me, I think that's cool. When I talk to Nip, I talk to him about purpose. I talk to him about, like weathering bad storms and the people he loves. That's God business. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not like, hey, like, what set you claim type shit, or who'd you do this to, or is this real, or like none of that. So all of that to say, like, I find my place is in hip-hop, is in media, is in LA, but also with that type of a messaging. Not to be super, not super concentrated where it turns people off. I think the way that I speak is intentional for the people that are going to listen to it in the way I say it.
Yes.
Or speak it.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Because I think whenever you post something or talk about any issues in general, not just spirituality, but anything that you believe in, it's never from a, you should believe this. It's, this is what right. I believe. And if you're on the team, cool. And if you're not, like, that's not going to change how I feel. So right. It comes from, like, a very rooted perspective. And that, speaking of that, you know, like, when, I guess we can transition a little bit, but what you just said, when you were talking about Nip, I remember I read something that you wrote that, like, I mean, I think that was a bar itself. You said Nip spoke in permanent marker. And I think that kind of does tie into the spirituality of everything, especially that you would talk about him with him, because that has to come from God.
Oh, yeah. I think it's something about someone that knows and believes what they say matters and puts that very intention to it. The only difference between, like, someone that talks with intention and someone that's just reckless is that they actually are aware and they believe in it, right? We're all, like, all of us, all of our words, like, literally have power. It's just whether you decide to, like, really own that or not. Like, whether you like it or not, you're either digging yourself into a ditch or you're building, like, a house.
Yeah.
Right? And you're doing one or the other. So wouldn't you rather build a house? And how you build the house is just be very intentional with what you're saying, whether that's to yourself talk or whether that's to others. And I think that Nip knew from a young age. I remember we went to dinner and I asked him, like, how did you know, like, you were special? Mm. And he's like, you know, super young, I knew that my experience of life meant something. Like, I just always felt purpose. Like, I always did. And it's not something that I feel like everyone may get those little tinges of, like, oh, what I'm doing means something. But I just, like, really decided to believe in it enough that every step I took was with that truth. Because you got to look at it as true. Like, I am intentional or I am purposeful, just like I know the sky is blue. You got to know them, yeah, like, fact like that, mm-hmm, right? Because if you just are like, oh, yeah, my life doesn't matter, which life can make you feel like it doesn't. But that's when, like, faith comes in. And that's when, like, that true trusting of what you were told and what was spoken into you, that strength comes into play. And so I think that I saw that about him. He saw that about himself. And then I also see that about myself, because when he was saying that, it's like, yeah, same. Like, and it's not to put anyone on, like, that level, but I also know that, like, everything that I'm going to operate as if every word I say
matters
is either, like, yeah, like, either, like, a, like, going towards, like, a prosperous life versus, like, a negative life. Mm-hmm. And so when I do that, like, you're so much more careful.
Yeah. What did Nip teach you about believing in yourself? What did you learn from him about on that
topic? I think that, honestly, like, that you can. Like, this was cool about Nip. So this was this is, like, one of my first times interviewing him by myself. Like, he had came into the radio station and interviewed with Big Boy, and I would kind of, like, be, like, second chair and, like, kind of ask questions. But I remember it was, like, at the Made in America Music Festival. I was backstage and I was interviewing him, and when he was talking about, like, being a role model, he included me. Like, he was like, you know, Letty, like, or Ricky at the time, you know, like, what we're doing now is for other people. It's not for us. And it's our example that's going to let them know that they can too. And when he said that, it was a trip to me, because in my whole career prior to that, no artist had looked at me and been like, and you too, you know, like, and I see you doing it too. And he was, like, the first one that did that. And
I felt you.
It was like a confirmation. It was like a validation in a way.
Yeah.
And, like, damn, like that let me know, like, yeah, like, I think along the way of your journey, you need those confirmations to know you're going in the right path or you're doing the right thing. And I think that was definitely it for me. And knowing that even if another artist doesn't say, like, you did too, right, or you belong too, or what you're doing matters too, that he turned that on, like, that he was like, check mark, like, you too. Mm-hmm. And so then when I started doing like my own stuff, when I wasn't attached to any radio station, he didn't have to interview with me. I know my husband is his friend, but my husband even like, my husband is like, he's not going to ask him for favors either.
Yeah.
Like I set up the interview with Nip and it felt really good that he was like, he said yes to me because I'm sure because he loves me. But he also said yes to me because he knew that I was going to give him a great interview because of our past experiences. So then when we interview and it felt very much like, you see what we're doing here? You got it. Like you got it, Letty on her own. You got it, Letty without any company behind. You got it, Letty as the company. He recommended books to for like marketing and stuff like that. And I think just it was a lot of like, I'm this big, I figured it out for me, but like, okay. I'm here to say like, dude, like, yes, like you got it too. And so I think that that's priceless. That's kind of like, when he says in Racks in the Middle, like finish what we started, uh-huh. It's not even just like to his crew. It's literally like, if I spark that in you, finish it. Like I said that you had it in you because I saw it. So yes. Finish it.
Mm-hmm. Prove me right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like talk to me about that time. Cause I think on Clubhouse one time Roxy came in and you shared about how there was, this moment when you guys passed each other in the radio station and she kind of did like a moment like that for you too. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah.
About how important that moment was for you, like in your career in radio and how you passed that on or, you know.
Oh, for sure. Okay. So yeah, what she did is something that I've internalized and been able to now do. So I remember I was just working as an intern. I never saw, like at that point, I just knew I was running errands. I just knew that I was answering phones and things like that. But someone had asked me to do voice in a commercial. And Roxy wasn't even the person I was interning for. I was interning for somebody else. And I really never got that confirmation because I was being the assistant for that person.
Yeah.
And I remember I did a commercial and Roxy stopped me outside of the elevator and was like, hey, did you voice whatever the commercial was? And I was like, yeah. She's like, you got it. Like keep doing that. Like, it's yours. And then
you even sound like her.
Oh, shit. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit. Like, that's amazing. I always wanted to be on radio, but the thing about radio is you could have an amazing personality. You could be the funniest motherfucker. You could be the smartest person. But when that mic is in front of your face, I've seen so many funny, smart, articulate, fucking clever motherfuckers shut up.
Yeah.
And then get robotic and it's gone. And so I never knew, like, and you don't know until that point. So to me, it was like, fuck, I'm studying and I want it. Who's to say that once I started, I would just flop, right? So she told me that. And then I kept on doing it. But a few months later, there was like budget cuts at that company. And I had moved from intern to street team and then they just let everybody go. And then a couple weeks later, she calls me and she's like, she gets my number. She calls me and she's like, hey, my ex-boss is looking for a night chick. Send in your something we call an air check, which is basically a demo. Mm-hmm. Send in your demo. And I was like, what? Like, I don't even have that because I've just started.
Yeah.
And I remember she's like, bitch, I can't believe in you if you don't believe in you. And when she said that to me, I saw myself how I was second guessing myself, but you literally have this person telling you, you have it. And they're at that place where like,
That means something.
It's like Kobe saying like, hey, you have a good shot, and you being like, oh, I don't know, motherfucker, Kobe just said you have a good shot. Yeah. And so she told me that, and I figured it out. I somehow got a software program, I made a demo, and I ended up getting a job at that radio station. And it was all because she was just like, hey, you have it. And to her, it didn't cost her shit to say that. So then now I do that. Like, if I see someone, like whether it was at a radio station I worked for or like online, just be like, dude, you're a star. I just hope you know that. Like, you got it. Like, keep going. I get nothing from it.
It takes 30 seconds.
Yeah, but and then to them, whatever they may think of me will be like, oh shit, I remember she told me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's something that you always remember. That's something that stuck with me when I wanted to talk to you about that, because in listening to you talk, I've heard you kind of like tell stories or identify moments where that seem to be like pivotal in your career, but also because there's no career without believing in yourself. Like there's no, that's mm-hmm. you have to get there first. And so I would say, like, how do you, or what advice would you have to like a young Latina who wants to be in radio? What's up? We have so many comments in here, dude.
I haven't seen J-Rock in so long.
Well, he's here listening to you now and your gems.
Yeah.
What advice would you have for a young Latina who wants to get into radio, but who might, you know, be struggling to be like, well, maybe I don't belong there. Like, you know, thinking that they might not be good enough.
Okay, so a few things. Because I am super hard. Like, I'm so hard on people. Like, I have family members, or like I have like people that are like, hey, I want to be in radio because they know I'm in radio. And then I have to check their integrity. Like, why? Do you like it for the perks, or do you like it for the purpose? Like, what is it about that? So if I've kind of like seen that, like that I've seen that they really have like that intention, it's one of my biggest things to tell them is that show your hunger, not your thirst. There's a difference between being hungry, and there's a difference between hungry and thirsty, right?
Write that down.
Thirsty is like, give me this shot. Like whenever you're reaching out to someone, give me this shot or put me on. That's a lot of thirst. That's a lot of gimme, gimme, gimme. Hunger is like, hey, look, I got these skills. I can help you. Or hey, like, I know you're interviewing someone. Like, here's something I know about them. If you're at a radio station, or if you're like interning somewhere, right? When you realize that your hunger is going to get you through the door, you are now going to be more willing to say, what do I bring to the table? What can I bring to the table versus what can they do for me? How I need this shot. They need to give it to me. No, they don't. No one does at all.
Yeah, no one.
And then also
shit.
Like the door is different for everyone. So my even door into internship was different. Like, I went to a community college. In that classroom, someone knew someone at the radio station that was looking for an intern. I didn't even have enough credits to start interning, but somehow I got the class in my schedule to like that would be the interning class, and then I was able to get in to the radio station, right? From interning, I did board hopping, then I did like street team, right? And some people get into radio like from the street team, some people intern, some people board up. Like the door is just different for everyone, right? So like, don't feel like these are the steps I need to take. But what you should do is literally evaluate who you are, evaluate the skills you have or what you can learn, and then maybe like use that stuff versus like, I don't know, like sometimes I feel like we will do whatever anyone wants us to do. And in that, we lose ourselves. So with me, it's like, all right, I'm good at this. I'm good at hip hop. Imagine if I started working for a pop station because that got me into radio. Like, I would be fucking screwed. Like, that shit's not me. So it's like, I'm into hip hop. This is what I love doing. Hey, E-Man at Power, if you ever need somebody that freaking does their research or blogs or like need freaking questions for an interview, here you go. Don't even ask for shit in return. And then they're going to start seeing that, and they're going to be like, they're more likely to give you the chance than anybody else.
Become an asset. Make yourself an asset to them. Yeah.
If you want to be in radio, like that's kind of like my screen keeps going dark on me. So yeah, that's what I would say. Like, literally be hungry, not thirsty, and know that the door is different for everyone. It's going to be different for you than it was for me, and that's fine.
Yeah. What has being a mother taught you about believing in yourself?
Let's see. I think that it's taught me that at your core, like who you are, the character that you bring, that's more important than like if you can like turn in this set of work, right? It's weird because if you were outside of the United States, you'd look at us like we were all little rats for our companies. Like that's kind of like our goal, right? And so our self-worth, our self-confidence, all of that is tied directly to the work that we put in, right? And your self-worth should be tied directly to like who you are. Are you kind? Are you honest? Are you helpful? Are you loyal? Like all of that versus like, is this report done? Or is this like, did you get this many quota in or whatever? So I think that being a mom lets me know like all of that. My kids do not care who I interviewed. They don't care like if I got this many views. They don't care of any of those like those status numbers that society would say would make you a certain way. They care if I feed them. They care if I tell them I love them or take them a bath or things like that. And their gratitude to that, I could never get as fulfilled with a from the gratitude that a child gives me, you know? So it's like understanding like that's kind of where worth lies versus in this type of like trivial, when you really think of it, things that we put worth in.
Yeah, definitely. So you have, girl, you're dropping a lot today.
I talk a lot.
No, but you're dropping a lot of gems. So, and I think a lot of people are, look, let these voices so calming. Yeah, I agree.
You know what's funny? Is the voice you hear the voice?
Okay. You hear? I already know your question.
Have you ever had that? Like,
we'll never know.
On camera I remember when I was little and they video recorded us, and then I'm like, that's not my voice. That's not the voice I hear. Like, the voice I hear is so different than the voice you guys hear.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's impossible to see ourselves the way other people see us and to hear ourselves, you know, just in general. I think, yeah. I'm going to start wrapping up because I feel like I'm taking a lot of your time. We had a lot of problems with the audio, but we got it together. Thank you, teamwork. Everybody, even on the chat, they were helping us out.
Yeah, thank you guys.
But something that that stands out that you couldn't not bring this up with talking to you is your connection to the Latino community and your love for it and the way you rep, like, and just always, you know, show up for your community. Where does that love come from? Obviously, because that's your community, but where does it come from? Like, were you always that way?
Yeah, I feel like there's such a deep, I don't know, like, it's like an honor to be Latina. It's an honor to be Mexican and Salvadorian for me. Like, and then I always think of what an honor it is for us as Latinos in America, or especially if you're like Mexican especially if you're Mexican, what an honor it is for us to be hours away from our motherland. Like, other people don't get that same luxury. And there's something about touching down in Mexico and feeling grounded and feeling like home. It's always different. Like, it's always like you feel there's like a nurture. There's like a protectiveness about it. Right. And I think that that's something that may be why we are so close-knit to our families and we're so close-knit to each other, because literally we have something that other people can't, like, can't go back to where their origins are from. Yeah. Maybe if they don't even know where they originate from, in what parts of whatever country, right? We have that luxury. I also think that, like, we have such a background innately in like if you want to say Aztec, Maya, Inca, like that we have these warrior spirits in us. Like
hell
we,
yeah,
like, and there's a fight in us that for whatever, like, I won't even say like that we were all moral back then, but I do know that we felt really strongly. And I think that carries over in the passion of someone who is Latino, who's Mexican, who's Salvadorian, or at least I can speak for those, right? That like when we feel threatened, we have, like, we fight. Like, we almost feel worse if we don't fight than if we do fight. And it's like fighting takes on different forms. Yes. And so for me, yes, again, I use my voice. And so I think that that's kind of like my strongest, like, protective blanket over the community that I love, is like using my voice to speak, and maybe to speak to us, to calm us, speak to others to understand us, and speak to the world to like take us serious and to respect us, because we are that, right? There's also like, I don't think it is a coincidence that we are alive at this very time in history to where Latinos and I don't want to just be specific to Mexicans, but I do see like the attacks on Mexicans, like as far as like our ex-president and what he said, right? There's a reason why we exist in this very specific time. There's a thing in the Bible that says, again, I don't know which part, that before God put you in your mother's womb, he knew you. And to me, it's like God looks at like the time of like of the world, and it's like, oh, who can I put right here to help out? Okay, I'm going to put Letty here. I'm going to put Angela here. Like, he knew to put these people in this certain place because of what was going to happen, right? And so when that's kind of like, we look like what is being attacked, right? It brings out the fight in us that maybe we never knew we were activists, but also activism shouldn't be something you were like, today I'm going to be an activist. Yeah. Like, no, it's like you,
if you believe in what's right and wrong, you feel that way all the time.
It's brought up out of pain. We're protective people. We love people. Like, I think just naturally we want to help. And so this is us helping. And similar with me, like, I would have never been like, I'm going to like come out and do this for everyone. But it's just like, I felt so inclined to, and you just got to listen.
Yeah.
Listen doesn't even mean being hateful either. Like, fighting doesn't even mean being hateful. Fighting me, like, I feel like you win more fights understanding than you do arguing, or you like, there's so much more power in understanding everything and first listening and then moving than fighting and wanting to fuck someone up or wanting to like shit on someone.
That reminds me of like when you said like fighting takes many forms, and that reminds me of that Tupac line, like, learn how to think ahead so I fight with my pen. And you fight with your voice, and that is like, everybody's on here saying how inspiring you are, and like just the way you convey the messages that I don't know, I just could, I guess, come through you know, because I think that's what you are, I guess, a messenger, but a vessel, and to bring those, I don't know, to bring a perspective, and just to shine your light, and like, just thank you for doing this. This has been like such a beautiful conversation. I'm really excited to go back and listen to it, because I feel like sometimes Anela.
Honestly, like, I feel like I really still feel like in a COVID haze, so I don't even know if I'm talking and I'm making sense. Sometimes I literally feel like the crazy person that's like talking to the wall, because I do that, but like, thank you for like getting me, and like, I don't want to like leave this without like talking about just like how beautiful your words are. Like, you're not going to tell me about words and be a fucking amazing poet and like really be able to like turn things like that you've experienced into like things that I couldn't be able to articulate. Like, and I think like that's something that looking at you and looking at like the pieces that you like you've made and you've brought on have helped me being like, hey, maybe I can sit talk about this and it be like a little bit more comfortable. So Same, girl. We're the same.
Thank you, friend. Yeah. Well, this is my second time crying on the interview, so thank you so much, Letty. You're the best, and thank you for shining your light with us. And follow Letty, obviously, if you're already following her. But if you're not, then, you know, make that correction. Thank you, Letty. You're the best. Thank you for being on the Millennial Miha podcast. Look at what we made. We made a very good conversation. I love it.
Knowing you to do on my podcast, and we're going to talk more. So
yes. And we can go to your office with all the crystals.
Yes. And all my fucking gadgets finally booked.
We can bring tacos. Or we can bring that chicken place that you were telling me. That I went and got it. Me and my mom went and got that chicken strips. Chicken place. Raising Cane's.
I told you.
Dude, once I looked at the picture, it was just in my head. Just like, oh, so I had to go. I had to go check it out.
Raising Cane's is the shit, yeah. If I would own a franchise, I'd try to franchise that shit.
Hey, that's money. All right. Thank you, Letty. You're the best.
You too, Andrew.
Bye, guys.
Hello? It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.